Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drake May, outstanding. And the Patriots on their way to 6-2. And in the final moments, thanks for joining us, Mike Vrabel. You talk about a turnaround, what he's done in 8 games, 6-2, atop of the AFC East, and they've won 5 straight.
Well, I always say you're either in the relationship business or you're going out of business. And Mike Vrabel is in the relationship business. His guys love playing for him. They are playing inspired football right now. And the Patriots sitting at 6-2 atop the division.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Well, what began as a bit of a grinder, as they like to call it, a knockdown, drag-out, rock fight of a first half that had the Red Sox 9 and the Guardians 7, ultimately turned in the favor of the Foxborough faithful, because that's right, Drake Mania ran wild all over Cleveland. The better team won, the better team prevails, the better quarterback prevails, the better coach prevails, and even despite an epic all-time record-setting performance by Myles Garrett, man, you can have a plan until you get punched in the face or Myles Garrett comes running at you. We got a couple things we need to clean up on Isle offensive line later on in the show. But your New England Patriots get the dub, 32-13. Listen to this. The Patriots are now 6-2 on the season. They have won 5 straight. They run their record at home to 2-2. And I got to say, Andy Hart, right now, the good vibes are much like Drake May in the second half against the vaunted Cleveland defense, rolling throughout the nation.
It is amazing how quickly things can change for the positive when you have a superstar quarterback like Drake May. They were, as you said it, they were in a dog fight, a rock fight, and then in the third quarter, they're in a blowout. And it's like, whoa, this game's over against the best defense in football and right, with the best defensive player in football kicking your ass. You're still blowing them out. Like, it's crazy.
You couldn't get anything on him. Like, Myles Garrett, like, if I told you, Andy, you know, on Friday's show, hey, Myles Garrett is going to have 5 sacks on Sunday, what would have been the next thing you would have said about the game?
Well, let me add to it. Myles Garrett's going to have 5 sacks. Drake May's going to throw a pick and have a fumble. What would I say about it? Ah, well, you were due for a stinker. You're still young. You were due for a bad one. Doesn't mean you suck, but it's a good learning loss for this team. Oh, excuse me. You had that happen, and you won easily. You won in a laugher. And that's the beauty of this for Mike Vrabel. He gets everything he wants. He gets victories. He gets a superstar quarterback who is literally just getting better before our eyes. I mean, when he had that two-play span of 28-yard run, 39-yard touchdown pass, it's like, this is getting laughable with Drake May. But Mike Vrabel also has sacks allowed, penalties, running back fumbles, missed tackles. It's the perfect coaching experience. Blowout victory and a nitpick list that's long enough to keep everybody focused on their jobs.
It's funny you posit it that way, because it actually feels like the perfect outcome today. You win big so that you can build confidence, and you win the way that you should by pulling away and ahead of a team that, as our pal Ted Johnson pointed out, when they play true Cleveland ball, they grind it early, but then they ultimately end up giving up 30 points. Patriots score 30 points on the day. Well, they get the extra safety at the end, but you know what I mean. And at the same time, there are plenty of things to work on, finesse, like you said, nitpick, course over, correct. Like, that's an ideal. This was a best-case scenario game. No significant injuries for the Patriots. Drake May is rolling, still stays in the MVP race. You firm up your hold on, or at least hold on to, first place in the AFC East. Looks like the Bills finally got their ass back in gear today as well. That game in December can't come soon enough. But you do enough that you should feel, as a fan, in media, or anybody who's behind this team, you should feel very confident that they're going to continue to get better. I even saw, like, the emergence of a couple of people today as well. Like, Robert Spillane looks like he's getting better and more comfortable. And I think today, let me throw this one at you, Andy. Could today be the day the running back room tilted in the favor of Travion Henderson? Pats had 180 yards on the ground, but I feel like today's the first day we saw that burst we've been missing from Henderson for so long.
Right up until the ball burst out of his hands on the goal line and he joined the list of those on this team that gives the gosh dang ball to the other team. You know who it might have been passing the torch to?
Ramondre tribute. What do you want?
This might have been Tyrell Jennings' game. Like, he gets in there and immediately on that last drive bursts up the middle, and you're like, sooner or later, this guy's going to get a chance. I know he's just a practice squad call-up who gives you depth on game day, but at some point, if Butterfinger's crew of three back there, which Gibson's now hurt, but he's going to get his chance. I was with you. I thought this was the breakout foundational game for Travion Henderson right up until the ball popped out on the goal line.
That was just like that. Okay, so there's your worst case scenario. But considering Mike Vrabel is so, I won't say touchy-feely, but sensitive to people making mistakes and trying to coach him up like a good one does, you know, this will be his breakfast ball or his mulligan. I mean, he could probably look the way of Ramondre and go, hey, coach, I only have one. This guy's got three. Yeah, and this is the thing that everybody, in addition to the elite pass blocking and the pass protection that he brought from Ohio State, this is also one of the things they talked about. Like, he doesn't put the ball on the carpet, but as he has been finding out, one intense game at a time. Once you crank it up from Ohio State, even if that feels like a pro system or not, things get more intense at the pro level. I should probably also let everybody know, hello and welcome to the Six Rings Postgame Show, live here on WEEI, Boston Sports Original. We'll be with you until 7:30 tonight, at which point we will throw it to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football, and that should be a dandy with the Packers going to Yinsburg to take on old pal Aaron Rodgers and the Stillers. You got Fitzy, you got Hart. We'll have a couple of guests during the course of the show. We will carry Drake May and Mike Vrabel from the podium in victory once they finish dapping up the team, giving out game balls and such for you guys to enjoy coming up here in moments. And, of course, we'll have the Cars for Kids player of the game, Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down, and you at 617-779-7937. This will be our first time, really, that we're going to hear like a lot of, I mean, I know they beat the Panthers before, but I don't even think we had a full-size show. This should be the first one full of happy people in the cars in traffic. You know, I heard it was a gorgeous scene down there today. Beautiful L.L. Bean crisp cider donut, Fitzy phrasing of a Foxborough day, Andy. The crowd, I heard the tailgates were terrific. I just love that the energy is back and that it's palpable down there. And that energy in the tailgate and on the radio and wherever else Pats fans can be found seems like it is translating. It is breaching across the lighthouse and the giant TV onto the field and into the players.
And you had pregame Tom Brady joking to Drake May about what he could have accomplished had he had some of the skills that Drake May has, while Drake May was having his nice conversation with Rob Gronkowski, rubbing elbows with Patriots Hall of Famers, all-time GOATs. It's just, you know, we keep talking, I know people don't want me to use it, the text line will blow up, vibes, but this team, from Robert Spillane to Christian Gonzalez to, and it's not perfect, you know, Bryce Behringer, you can't have a 15-yard punt. Like, that could cost you in a real game. This wasn't a real game at that point. That could cost you. But I just look across the board, and the number of guys contributing complimentary plays, but it seems like I'm underselling them to say that. Like the interception to set up the short field by Spillane, couple tackles for a loss by Spillane. You know, just plain tackles from Christian Gonzalez. Our guy Mark Schlereth was all over it. Like this is an elite corner, and he's tackling at a high level, not something all cover corners really want to do. It's just they're getting so many contributions from so many people, and I don't know that we can credit Drake May for all of that, right? Like you can't say Drake May, he's the reason you're scoring and he makes it easier to win and he's the one completing deep balls at a record pace.
Yes.
But there's also a nice roster construction, mosaic of leadership construction, right? He erased all the old leaders and we were like, really? You don't want to keep David Andrews around? You don't want to keep Jonathan Jones around? And no, he was right. It's all rolling. And so you got to give Mike Vrabel credit for all of that.
You most certainly do. You know, we used to always say this, and it's true in so many other athletic disciplines and on so many other teams, that when you've got a player who is playing so well, the oftentimes, should you have adequate to above-level surrounding talent, they can be the tide that raises all boats.
Yep.
I don't see how anybody could play around Drake May and not be energized by his play, his infectious energy. Not just want to try to find a way to raise their game, but find out what their best is, because this kid's effortless excellence right now is remarkable. I mean, he's sacked 6 times on the day. He does throw his first pick in weeks and yet still finishes 18 for 20. We'll get back into that in a second, because here's Mike Vrabel.
Oh, I'm just talking to Karen. Thank you. Taking advantage of our opportunities, turning, you know, drives into touchdowns, you know, hitting some X plays and not settling for field goals like we did in the first half. But, you know, sometimes it's going to be like that. A lot of times in this league, it's going to be like that. And, you know, we've had other games and they asked me about starting fast. And, you know, again, we'll try to continue to work on that. But I'm also proud of the totality of this, of the team. And I know there's so much more to improve. But we got stops in the second half, and we scored touchdowns, and that's what the difference in the game was. But it was also the way we finished the first half, you know, by getting a stop and going down there and making a huge gain. We didn't convert, but we were able to move the ball down there into a field goal range, and Andy and that operation was able to take advantage of it and go into the halftime with the lead.
Sir, Dan Rhodes.
Mike, kind of extending that, just the complimentary football, Spillane the interception, and then the touchdown, Hawkins the interception, touchdown. How pleased were you when you saw those kind of things unfold? And you brought your team to the sidelines for the ensuing kickoff. What was the reason for having everybody stand up on the sidelines for that?
Well, I wish you guys would have noticed that a few weeks ago. We started doing that a couple weeks ago when we started going on the road. So glad you guys just now noticed, but that hasn't changed in 3 weeks. It was focus that we had on the road, trying to get up and support the other groups, the ones that were trying to create field position for us on the kickoff return or the kickoff. So taking advantage of the turnovers is huge. Certainly one on third down there with Spillane, and then the long one there that Hawk had. So we got to take care of the ball better and continue to find opportunities. They hadn't turned it over. And then when their gimmick plays ran out, I thought we played pretty good defense.
Looks like the team was pretty... Looks like the
Sorry.
Team.
You were right. Far, far right.
It looks like the team was pretty fired up for Stephon Diggs after he scored his first touchdown of the season. Just how would you characterize the impact he's had in the locker room so far?
Really enjoyed being around him every day. There's energy, communication, his willingness to learn and play and you know, figure out what it is that we need from him each and every week. There's been an energy. He's practiced. When we need him to practice, and we're going to have to start taking care of some of these veteran guys, and whether that's him or Morgan or Hunter and a lot of these other guys as we move on towards the season. But highly competitive. He's vocal. He cares. He's a great teammate. He's been really good for that position and some of the younger guys' development. So I'm happy to be able to get him in the end zone. It was long overdue.
Drake was sacked 6 times today, but still finishes with 280 and 3 touchdowns. Just how impressed were you with his resolve as this game went on?
Everybody's resolve. And You know, again, would like to have the sacks, but again, you know, we got to get the ball out on time and understand who it is that we're dealing with. And you know, but I don't think that the you know, as long as we're keeping them clean and not you know some vicious hits, you know, we have to be able to be better in that regard. But you know, I think when we give them time to throw, it's pretty good, and it's good to see us hit a couple X plays. And but we knew that it was going to be a challenge with this front, and then the way that they played, and certainly with Myles Garrett and committing two people to him, and him still, you know, affecting the quarterback is obviously impressive.
Mike, we're going on 6 weeks now where you guys are among the best defenses in the league the last three quarters. What, besides the tackling, which we've talked about, do you see is driving that?
I think we settle in. I think we get some stops. I don't think we given up a ton of X plays in that regard. You know, after the first drive, and you know, whether that was a missed tackle or, you know, they got us and over-aggressive and slipped the guy out of the backfield, but I think they play and they compete for 60 minutes. This isn't a one or two possession game. There's 10 or 12 at least possessions in a football game. So we got to continue to work on the things and enhance the things we've done well and improve on the things that haven't been so well, which is the early game, you know, the opening script, getting off the field on third down, which we had them in third and long and weren't able to. So, but creating third and long opportunities and then you know, continue to get stops.
Mike, obviously not word for word, but what did you say to your team at the half? You guys struggled a lot in the first half, both obviously to move the ball, but then, of course, to get points, then three straight touchdowns to start the second half.
We were winning the game, so I just told them, keep playing. I mean, I don't know how many yards we had. I mean, those are stats. I look at the scoreboard, we were winning.
Mike, right behind him. Just curious your thoughts on Myles Garrett today. And I imagine you guys had him emphasized during the week. Just how hard is this guy to block, I guess?
Just size, speed, athleticism, bend. You know, having watched him last year, it's impressive. And it's hard. You know, I mean, you're trying to chip him and he gumbies around one guy and then speed bursts. The other guy is just an elite athlete with, you know, a tremendous skill set. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, we don't play him twice every year unless we're both in the playoffs. So, you know, he's just a dynamic player and, you know, they do a nice job with him and he certainly impacts a lot of football games.
Coach, what went into the individual player introductions? I know earlier you mentioned players standing up during special teams, but what was your thought process into having the players introduced individually before the game?
I just feel like these guys put a lot into it and would like to recognize them individually. Hopefully our fans can embrace that and get excited for them. And you know, something that, you know, felt like we wanted it to do and, you know, create some energy early and get them to recognize the players' efforts and, you know, allow these fans to support us, which they, you know, they did. I mean, it's getting loud on third down and, you know, we got to continue to play hard for them so that they cheer for us. Hey, Soph.
Hey, Mike. Just curious, Christian Barmore, we didn't really see him in the first quarter. Was there anything that led to him being sidelined and then to see him come back in the game after?
Yeah, I just had to make a decision. You know, my job is to protect the team. So when there's actions that I don't feel like are commensurate with what we want to do here, I got to make a decision and we move on.
Last question, Dick Hyde. Mike, run game was effective again for the second straight week. What did you see happening there against a tough Browns defense?
Tough sledding. I think we stayed committed. We make some interior runs. We hit some, you know, outside plays, some perimeter runs. And then obviously the quarterback stuff helps to, you know, those numbers. And when they pressure and they play man coverage and Drake can do that, that has to be part of who we are. You know, we got to send them to spring training and figure out, you know, when to slide and continue to talk about that and do my best there. Thanks, guys.
Drake May is waiting, so.
All right, there's Patriots coach Mike Vrabel. Andy, as is often the case, we get Drake May right afterwards. Anything stick out to you or initial thoughts on the coach's postgame presser?
The Barmore thing's interesting. We can get into that later. Not sure exactly what went sideways there, but something did.
Actions that are not commensurate to our values or the way we try to do things? Uh-oh.
Yep. Yeah, not great. Not great.
Yeah, that's a no bueno right there. Seemed pretty level-headed. He wasn't overly exuberant, I'd say.
No, actually a little snarky. I thought there was a little edge to him. And we also need to delve into the intro, the players being introduced individually. Mm-hmm. Another chopping off of the ties to the dynasty, which I think is an interesting talking point we can get to later in the show.
Actually, we'll have a couple of minutes until Drake May takes to the podium. Robert Spillane is currently speaking, which is interesting because normally, as has been the case all season, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been Mike Vrabel, and then maybe within a moment's time, we've had Drake May. I doubt
Spillane undercuts Drake May at the podium like he undercut David Njoku for the pick, baby.
Yeah. Hey, Stacey James is going to have some Spillaning to do, huh?
It's
first one. Hey, it's going to be a long day. Get a grip, kid. It's going to be that kind of day. Whether you're in traffic, on Route 1, maybe you're having a delicious aftergate from the parking lots across from the stadium, right around Gillette or whatever, you can feel free to give us a call at 617-779-7937. Now, to me, Andy, I would have thought there would have been a little more joy in Mike Vrabel's voice. Not to say that he was dour. Snarky is actually a pretty good choice of a first descriptive. It feels like, I don't know, like, was he disappointed that it took them so long to get going? Was he unhappy about
No, Miles he wasn't Garrett? Disappointed. You didn't see the scoreboard at halftime? Those are stats. He looks at the score.
Yeah.
I liked that answer.
Yeah, see? Kitty had some claws today at the postgame presser. Holy smokes.
Yeah, it was
that was a stats are for that goes up there with the stats are for losers kind of thing.
It definitely is. But I think this is the coach coming to an understanding. Remember at the end of the preseason we were worried because he said people have to remember this is our first training camp. This is our first year. And we thought he was pumping the brakes, that maybe people were getting. I think he might be doing the opposite now and realizing this team's pretty damn good. Everybody's going to kind of give them their, flowers in the media, but he realizes they are pretty good. There's winnable games on the horizon. The Falcons stink. The Baker Mayfield just lost Mike Evans again. Baker Mayfield's turning the ball over. It's not crazy to think they can continue to just win and win and win. But I think he needs to rein some of that in, and I think he's going to do that with some of his tone. But I also think it's an indication he thinks they can be good. It was sort of my theory on why he seemed to wait so long to praise Josh McDaniels and Drake May, because I think he had high expectations for him. I think he's starting to get high expectations for his football team.
And it would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form if he realizes, I got to make sure these guys don't buy their clippings, because if we're getting features with Gronk talking to Drake May and FaceTiming Brady, and it doesn't get more football celebrific than that, and the entire world is opening their sports talker shows with Drake Mania, how much wilder can it get? And, we won't have the same deal. Oh, actually, speaking of Drake May, here he is at the podium, Andy.
Dan Roach in the back.
Yeah, it's first question every time.
Hi, Drake.
What's going on?
Karen's not here, that's all.
Gotcha.
Other than Miles Garrett, how was your day, and how was the offense, and what did you like about what you guys did?
I think we left some out there in the red zone. True, that's good defense. I thought we moved the ball well. Defense helped us out. They played a great game. So, I think when they did force turnovers, we scored off them, which was good to see. I think we left some out there in the red zone. But, we ran the ball, we threw it some, and the one turnover, me and the one with Travion at the end. So we got to learn from that. But, they're a good defense. They're good up front. They get that for the passer. And I got to do a better job of getting the ball out and knowing the kind of what mode I'm in to get it out.
Drake, did it feel like that Josh was kind of the way he called plays at the beginning of the second half? Kind of some cleverness, some creativity that kind of opened things up for you guys. And was that something that it was a little bit of a conversation in locker room at halftime?
Yeah, no, he was, his demeanor in halftime was, he could tell that, he was calming us down and knew that we were good. And, just classic, Coach McDaniels drive. I mean, he's just, dialing it up and, multiple times and getting guys open and really making it easy for me. So, he's done his whole life and, I feel like he's, put on the surf speed offensive coordinator. So it was, it's fun to, be in the headset with him.
Last
Mike Girardi in the front row.
Drake, after your long run, the crowd started chanting MVP, MVP. Next play, you throw the 39-yard touchdown pass to Kayshon. More of the same. Did you hear it? What's your reaction to it?
No, I didn't hear it. The guys were making fun of me about my slide back in the huddle on the long run. So I didn't hear it, but the fans have been awesome all season. It's been really cool to really to see the difference from last year to this year. Man, it's been a journey, and you know, they've been through it, and they've been, you know, the fans have been through it the last couple of years. So it's just you know, credit to them, and we did the intros today for the first time, so we didn't know how that would go. That was pretty cool. But the fans have been awesome. Like I said, I think the, you know, best fans in the league, and they continue to show out every week.
Drake, I'm curious, with the two touchdowns today, one to Hunter and one to Stephon Diggs. First with the Hunter one, getting him the ball on National Tight Ends Day, just what did that mean? And then with that second one to Stephon Diggs, finally getting him the ball in the end zone as a Patriot, well, just those, on those two.
Yeah, they mentioned you know, something to me this week, Hunter and Hoop did, about National, you know, Tight End Day, and you know, glad Big Hoop had a big catch, and, you know, a couple big catches, and then Hunt had one there at the end. I missed him a few times. I've been missing him a lot throughout the year, so it was good to see him get in there. And then Steph was, you know, we've been joking about him the other day that you know, KC, Kayvon Chaisson had more touchdowns than Steph did, so finally Steph got in there and got one, so it was cool.
Drake, can you walk us through your touchdown to Kayshon Booty and whether there was any advantage you guys gained by going formation to boundary on that play?
Yeah, you know, really, we were just trying to, you know, we worked it into the boundary, and, you know, Kayshon liked it, you know, on that side. We worked on that side during the week, so we just kept it that side, and you know, he made a great, great move on him, and just trying to give him a chance. Thought I overthrew it again, but, you know, he made a nice adjustment to it and a great catch.
Chris Ryan, front row.
Drake, obviously the number one ranked defense in the league. What did you learn about kind of yourself and how you had to adapt through the course of this game and make plays, end up with, you know, a stat line that you would like despite some adversity in the game?
Yeah, just bouncing back, you know, through early interception. And we talked about all week kind of this, what they strived on, their defense, getting their offense in good positions. And, you know, looking downfield and, you know, forgot the guy in front of me could jump, you know, so he picked it. But, you know, nice play by him. But just bouncing back from adversity, you know, this is that league. You know, one of the best players on the edge, and, you know, maybe the best player in the league on the edge. So just battling back and continue to, you know, run it and play action and boot and just try to keep the defense off its, trying to, you know, be unpredictable on offense. And I think Coach, you know, called a great game, and, you know, good to, you know, handle adversity and come out of halftime and, you know, score three touchdowns in the third quarter was big.
Last question, Mike Reese in the front row.
Drake, you had mentioned about the pregame introductions. Coach Vrabel mentioned a chance to create more energy in the stadium and sort of get the fans maybe engaged in that moment. I'm curious, did you feel that, like a difference with those introductions? And what was your thought being the last guy out there?
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, I was nervous, a little bit nervous for it. You know, you always see it, other teams do it. And, you know, I got really no swag, so I just, you know, go out there and run. But I think the guys enjoyed it. I think it was cool kind of hanging back there in the back, being the last one. I think the first, like, 10 guys, they had the wrong names running out. We were running out too fast. So I think we'll work on it. But yeah, I think the fans, I think it was new for them too, so they probably have to adjust to it maybe next time. You'll be ready for it. But I thought they were loud. You know, I think it's, you know, really loud every time they do the call-outs. You know, really, that's it. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Drake. Hunter Henry.
Well, it certainly sounds like Drake May realizes that his team won by 19 points today. Andy, a stark contrast in demeanor from Coach Mike Vrabel to quarterback Drake May at the postgame podium.
Yeah, he. I am thoroughly impressed with the way he continues to mature and settle in as the quarterback. I thought when he was talking about the MVP chance, and he turned it immediately into a way to praise the fans when he said it's been some couple tough years here and they've worked through it. Like, he's so savvy, and I don't know if it's calculated or just natural, but he is as impressive as he's been on the field, and we all know we now have him as a true top two or three quarterback and MVP candidate. I think seeing him mature, and he's so even-keeled. Like, he mentioned it there, he has no swag. I think it actually helps him that he is so sort of...
aw shucks, just
Even-keeled
is a great way. He's got a terrific demeanor. You know, like, this probably helps with the three older brothers and everything and a dad who had the same kind of experience, but it doesn't seem like he... I think the word I would go with is kind of unflappable.
Yeah, but also in good and bad. Like, he just goes, yeah, probably hold on to the ball a little, get rid of it quicker there on the strip sack, which was obvious. He held on to the ball too long. If you're playing Myles Garrett and you already can tell he's having a day, you need to have that internal clock. But he doesn't freak out. He's not slamming the ball on the ground or punching himself like Mac Jones or, you know, even Tom Brady was far more emotional. Or, you know, Philip Rivers, Dan Marino. There's so many of these truly elite quarterbacks. And I'll tell you one who isn't that we continue to compare him to. Patrick Mahomes doesn't seem to get too fired up, right? Every once in a while, like in big games. But for the most part, Patrick Mahomes is pretty even keeled. And I think seeing Drake May do this, it really is. It's remarkable because we had another day. All these stats, I haven't gotten to read them yet, but he threw for 280 and he has a rating of 135. So add to all the lists he's been on that are with Brady and Mahomes and like two other people. But yeah, I thought he's enjoying it while also realizing the work that lies ahead. Hey, he's mature beyond his years. He's 23. BS, he's 23. He's not 23 at the podium or on the football field.
That's for damn sure. His stats that he finishes with on the day, 75% completion percentage, 332 total yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a big come from, it wasn't a real come from behind victory, but a big victory in which they couldn't get things going for a full half of football, went in with single digits for both teams at halftime. And like he pointed out, 3 touchdowns in the third quarter against a team with this kind of vaunted defense and a defensive line that was chasing him around like crazy and in his business all afternoon long. Very impressive. And as I feel like I also have to remind the audience every Sunday, Andy, no one is doing anything in the NFL any better at any level and or from any position than Drake May is throwing the deep ball. It is a thing of beauty. 617-779-7937 to text in your thoughts on the game today or give us a shout and jump aboard the Six Rings postgame train here on WEEI. We're a little bit past when we're supposed to take our first commercial break, so we're going to catch up right now. When we come back on the other side, we will continue to discuss this Drake Mania, the MVP campaign that is unfurling before our eyes. And just how far do we really think this team can go? Now that some of these games that they're heading into next with the Falcons and the Buccaneers, especially the Falcons, who just got murdered by the Dolphins, seem highly winnable, are you having to alter your expectations for the team by the week? And isn't that a good thing? 617-779-7937. Fitzy, Hart, producer Zach Coe, and you here on the Six Rings Postgame Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI.
May's longest run, 28 yards. He's throwing for the end zone.
Drake made a Kayshon Booty doing that 6-point duty once again. Unbelievable. Andy, it's like Drake to Booty for six deep every week is actually becoming a thing. Not to say that, you know, you think a defense could get a guy on someone like that, but it's effortless, even though it takes incredible body control from Kayshon Booty to make the catch that he did today. But last week's was equally impressive, extending his body like that. I think you and I said on the postgame show last week that we thought he was just flat out overthrown and he extends himself beautifully in Tennessee. Another one today. That one, you know, I'm sure we'll find out, traveled 57 air yards and was a perfect throw, or had a, you know, trajectory of victory, or, you know, trajectory of success, like, point, you know, something else is going to be said about it. But each and every week, he just makes the near impossible look not just possible, but effortless. And it's incredible. And I feel like whatever you had for a ceiling, a limit, or expectations for this kid this year, blow him up, throw him out the window, wrap him up, toss him in the trash. Because he's just rewriting the book on what people thought he could do this year, each and every week.
Yeah, there's no, we said this was the yeah but game. If you get it done against Cleveland, no yeah buts. Put your yeah buts in your back pocket and walk away with them. And he did it three times. It started out a little precarious, you know. There was definitely pressure. There was definitely the turnover. I don't know. He also had a little revisionist history. I was looking downfield and I forgot the guy in front of me can jump. No, you kind of hit him like in the chest. He didn't really I'm 5'9 on a good day, and I could have picked that pass off. He never saw the linebacker in front of him, which happens. I'm not like criticizing.
Oh, Schlesinger? Yeah. And we were told on the Six Rings pod Friday by Daryl Reuter, who covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan, our sister station in Believeland. He said, watch out for this kid. He's a real playmaker over the middle of the field. And turns out when Drake throws a bad pass, there he was.
I'd be a real playmaker on that one, too. I guarantee you I would have caught that. You throw it right to me like that, I'm going to catch the football. But he did it. There is an absolute footnote on this game, and it's the career-high 5 sacks by Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter, right? You just go out there and get the job done. So, I don't know how you can try to do anything except just embrace and enjoy what Drake May is doing. And as you said, wonder, well, if it's this now, what's it going to be when he gets more? Do you notice he had a throwaway? Remember we were joking the other day he doesn't throw the ball away? Early on, there was a rollout. I'm not going to force it. I'm going to throw it into the Browns bench area. Stupid little thing. I'll admit it. Stupid little thing. That feels like a growth element, a minor growth element in Drake May's game. And then you continue to add the impeccable deep balls. And then you also add, remember the crosser to Kayshon Boutte where he threw it behind him and Boutte had rolled backwards?
What a great catch. That set up the field goal to end the first half, if I'm
correct.
Not mistaken.
Correct. And that doesn't happen if that's not a Drake May play. That's a Boutte play right there. And so that's my point. Like, you can count on Drake May to make a bunch of plays, and then when others start making plays for him, that's just making the offense that much more dangerous. Hell, we even get greedy. The OPI down the right sideline on Diggs. That's a catchable deep ball. Like, even that one, he threw just a
moon
ball. Oh, my God.
That OPI was kind of laughable. I can't believe that Diggs thought or acted like he was surprised he got the ball. He literally turned to Ward and shoved him.
Yeah, you never know. I've watched enough officials that suck. I tell you, at all levels, you just never know what they're going to call. But that's another deep ball where Drake gave his receiver a shot to make a play. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to watch. And Fitzy, how fun are these games? Like, that's the other thing. You went from a dogfight to a blowout in like 15 minutes of your life.
Oh, yeah, you got like two different movies. You know, you're the one who often says, I believe, Andy, like another classic tale of two halves type of game for the Patriots. This was literally two completely different movies.
Yeah, but fun. You know, sometimes it's thoroughly. You know, it laid the foundation. You had to earn it. It's not going to be easy, not going to be a laugher kind of thing. And then it became a little bit of a laugher in the third quarter. So, yeah, I'm all for everything that is happening right now. Like, I never thought I would say that, but I am all for everything that is happening with your New England Patriots right down till, you know, I'm a little greedy. We do a radio show 5 days a week for 4 hours. They're still giving us stuff to talk about in terms of negatives, right? Like, there's still...
Oh, there's plenty to criticize.
Hey, Will Campbell, have you not ever done double teams with a tight end before? Because you look like you'd never done that before. It went awfully. So that's something... Or the penalties. Hey, Mike Onwenu, we pay you like $60 million. You're the only returning starter on the offensive line. Do me a favor and know the damn snap count.
All right, like, Bryce Behringer, your job is to grab the ball and kick it the other direction. Why couldn't you do that? Now, again, like you said earlier, he's going to get away with it today because they were pulling away from the Browns at the moment. But you can't be kicking the ball 15 yards in practice against the Browns or in any potentially crucial moment as the games will get more intense and the stakes will get higher as the season progresses.
And that's the most important part of that part you said at the end. You'd think when you have a 5-game winning streak, wow, we can gloss over those. No. because the five-game winning streak is going to put you in important games. And in important games, playoff game, game to make the playoffs, if you punt it 15 yards in your own end, you lose. Like, you almost guaranteed to lose. You do
someone
that
against, else is going to make you pay for that big
right. You're going to do that in a game against Josh Allen, against Patrick Mahomes, against Daniel Jones and the Colts, the way they're playing right now. You give decent teams opportunities, you lose. So you can't have those happen. You need to start to eliminate those. And the penalties is probably the most infuriating, because that's been the most that's arguably the most consistent negative with this team all year, right? We've talked about tackling, or
it's going to bite them in the ass one of these days, regardless of what Mike Vrabel says. I'm sorry.
And maybe he needs to start caring. Like, that's what I was wondering. Is it possible that the coach saying there's no direct correlation between winning and losing is the reason that the penalties keep piling up? Maybe put a little bit of a concern or importance on it, and they'll fix it.
At the top of my topics list for today's show, question number one was, how did Drake do against the best defense that he has faced yet? I think he certainly passed the test. We will get into it a little bit more. Megan Ottolini will not be able to join us today on the postgame show with her now infamous negativity spot here on the postgame in the 5 o'clock hour. However, she has shared with us her column, the title of which is now running at WEI.com. With Browns win, Drake May becomes undeniable. It's all about how she's got to stop predicting what's going to happen for Drake May. Just like we were talking about moments ago, Andy, it's like we were hive mind on this. You got to stop making predictions for this kid, because one game after another, he continues to just exceed expectations, open eyes, and blow minds. And when we come back, we got to catch a quick commercial break here. When we get back, we'll take it to the fans, Andy. We'll talk to Jason. He's in New York. Mark's in New Hampshire. Al's in Georgia. Rob's on the South Shore. We'll get to all these guys. John Lyons joins us in the 5 o'clock hour. Big Ted Johnson in the 6 o'clock hour. And you, whenever you get a chance, at 617-779-7937. Fitzy Hart and you guys on another victory-filled Drake May-tastic Six Rings postgame show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Six Rings Postgame Show. Here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Oh, all is right now and then some in Patriots Nation. Thanks for making the Six Rings Postgame Show part of your daily Patriots diet, especially in victory. Like we say on the tagline, whether we celebrate or commiserate, we do it together. And we're celebrating today, Andy. We got a lot of great Pats fans lined up from all over the East Coast right now. Let's kick things off with Mark up in New Hampshire. Mark, welcome to the postgame show.
Yeah, hey, guys. Andy, you never would have made that interception. You would have dropped it and somehow ended up in the medical tent.
That seems like a cheap shot, but I'd take my chances.
Yeah, right? But I wanted to say, as an elated fan of the Patriots right now with what they're doing, they have a high-end coach. They have a high-end to perhaps elite quarterback right now, and they have a lot of competent players, and it's leading to victories. And I don't see any reason why it's not going to keep going. So that's what I got.
All right, Mark, that's a nice, quick, simple, easy, and dare I say accurate call to kick things off on the postgame show. Andy, I saved this a while ago. Daniel Rotman, who's the guy behind the at Scout D NFL account on X, he's a good amateur self-made scouter of football talents. His 2025-26 Drake May stat projection line was 376 for 565 at 66.5%, 4,100 yards, 500 rushing yards, 30 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, 10 INTs. That still would have been a spectacular season. I don't think any of those are going to come close, except for maybe the passing yards.
Nope. No, he is there. I mean, I think even if you had gotten Drake May on Truth Serum, Josh McDaniels on Truth Serum, whoever, and said, like, best case scenario, nobody would have predicted anything like this. It is, I mean, it's why some people are so shook. Like, Tom Curran just can't get over it. He's like beside himself, you know, talking to him the last couple of weeks and listening to him.
What was that line he used with us the other day where it's like was it a deal with the devil at the crowd? Yeah. When did Drake May do a deal with the devil? Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Like, he can't wrap his head around it, and I get it. And we talked, Ted brought it up the other day. None of us, nobody in camp was like, oh my God, have you seen Drake May in August? Whoa, he is going to take this league by storm. We have confidence in him. And a lot of us that are fans of his game and his makeup thought he's a franchise quarterback, thought he's going to make a nice year. Josh will make him better. No one envisioned the numbers, the statistics, the winning, the success, the leadership. He's been, and this is going to sound like kind of stupid, I guess, but he's been borderline perfect. He's been borderline perfect on and off the field for this team. And you can tell me I'm being a homer. I feel like I'm just analyzing the information that's been presented to me the last 2 months.
To call him unbelievable, surreal, spectacular, dreamy, like MVP-ish. There's a reason why he left the field to MVP chance today. They are earned and deserved. One more quick call, Andy, before we hit the top of the hour and move into hour number two of the Six Rings postgame show here on WEI. Jason is in New York. What's up there, Jason?
Hey, guys. How are you? First time in a long time. I just want to say I've been a fan since I've been 8 years old, so I love this team.
And us or the
team? Oh, both of you guys and the team. You know, from Steve Grogan, Craig James, to where we are today, it's been a journey, but I really like the path we're on. I think Vrabel's been an excellent coach. May has been a find. Just the slow starts have to stop, because if we get to the postseason, KC, teams like that, you know, they're going to bury us if we can't, you know, get off the ground and running in the first quarter. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. Thanks for the call. Yeah, no, I agree. The slow starts, when you're not a great team, and we can acknowledge this is not a great team.
We can stop calling them good. I feel very comfortable saying this is a very to really good team.
I'm maybe not quite as high on it as you are, but it also is relative to the competition. But either way, we can acknowledge it's not a great team. You're not this unbeatable wagon.
No.
A good way to derail yourself is slow starts, is to waste a quarter, is to be looking up on the scoreboard and it's, you know, 10-3 after one quarter and you're like, oh boy, we only got three quarters left and now we got to dig out of this little hole. That's just, it's not a great way to play for anybody, certainly not a young team trying to establish itself that doesn't have a lot of depth, that, you know, is still figuring out maybe what all its best strengths and weaknesses are. I agree with him. And they've been fixating on it. You know, this week Mike Vrabel relayed that he set up a script in terms of the defensive slow starts. He and Ben McAdoo set up a script that the defense had to deal with to try to mimic what another team might script. And I also don't really get why the script is such an issue. Can I be honest with you? Maybe I'm not smart enough, but like, okay, the other team scripting plays just means they're putting plays in a certain sequence. And yes, they're trying to take advantage of you, kind of play to play, falling into trends or whatever, but just play defense. You know what I think it is? I've had lot of tweets, a lot of soft zone at times early seems to bother me. Seems like soft zone has been a part of a lot of the easy starts for some of these, we need to admit, very mediocre to at times piss poor quarterbacks are having success early.
Yeah, they are. And it makes me wonder if the Patriots almost don't either want to, or if there isn't some sort of idea that they need to take a punch to wake up or approach, and that the machine sort of needs to take in. So like they treat the first drive as like a data consumption curve, and they just want to make sure that they see the way they're going to attack, and then they adjust. And if that's the case, it's pretty interesting that they want to base things off of that and work off of those adjustments both in-game and at the half, and B, that's a hell of a cocky attitude to take.
Yeah, and too cocky. Now, it's a good thing to say they do adjust. Like our guy Zach Hardcore, it's great to say that he does adjust and the defense does kind of settle in. How about we just try to have a better game plan and a better opening series and then, I don't know, adjust from there? It'd be fun to adjust after a punt, wouldn't it? Much more fun to adjust after a punt than adjust after allowing a mediocre quarterback march down the field. So that is definitely one of the issues that if we're going to start to get greedy, and I think everybody's starting to get greedy. Like, this is a playoff team. It was 91% last week. I'm sure it's going to go up to 95%. Or it's
playoffs.
did you see also what happened? What did I tell you would make the Patriots look really good this week beyond them taking care of business against
Buffalo taking it to the Panthers?
Yeah, what was the score on that one?
It was a lot to a little.
Yeah, Buffalo blew doors. So Buffalo doesn't suck. Buffalo isn't trending in the wrong direction, and you whoop their ass. Well, you beat them. That's strong
beat
words.
23-20 is hardly a whooping. Yeah, yeah. No, they
whatever,
did the
you beat them.
Today. But they took the week off, and they got their ship right. James Cook, I think, had 500 rushing yards in the first quarter.
Yeah,
they were off to the races and kicking some ass today as well, and that does make the Patriots look that much better. Okay, everybody that's on hold, hang tight. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes. We'll continue the Six Rings postgame show. 5:20, John Lyons calls in to offer some thoughts from the coach's lounge. In the 6 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Ted Johnson and, of course, you throughout the course of the show leading up to 7:30 when we throw it to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football. And, of course, right before that, you're not going to want to miss it. It is the ultimate moment of our show each and every week. The thumbs up, thumbs down segment from your old pal, Andy Hart. 617-779-7937. A good time and victory once again, but still room for improvement, as always, here on the Six Rings postgame show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.